Our next presentation is Can Big Data Answer the Big Question, How Do My Haul Roads Perform? And our presenter is Dr. Roger Thompson, Professor of Mining Engineering from Curtin University, Western Australia School of Mines. Dr. Rogers has presented at a couple haulogen loadings, and with the School of Mines, his research and consulting is centered on mine haul road design, construction, operation, and management. And this expertise and associated design methodologies has been applied at many of the world's leading surface mining operations. He holds a bachelor's and master's degree from mining from Camborne School of Mines and a doctorate in civil engineering from the University of Pretoria. He's a Fulbright scholar, certificated mine manager for coal, gold mining operations, and a registered engineer. He's also the delegate who's probably traveled the farthest to be here. So how about a warm welcome for Dr. Thompson?
Yeah, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks very much, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here and talk to you this afternoon. As Steve mentioned, I've presented at a couple of these conferences, and right now back home, it's pretty early in the morning. So if I don't make much sense, please excuse me, but by around 7 or 8 o'clock this evening over here, I'll be wide awake. So we might have just missed our opportunity. One of the challenges we have as academics is putting our work into or our research work into some sort of context that is useful and has some value for you, especially in these conferences which are focused on operations, operational improvement of specific aspects in mining. It's good not so much to talk about the mechanics of the research that we do, but the ultimate application of that research, and to get you asking questions about your operations and potentially how you could improve your operations. And if you go back after Wednesday, to your operation, you're asking yourself some of the questions we're going to be discussing, and if you say, hey, no, we haven't got this problem, great, then it's one thing you don't have to focus on. Alternatively, if you now look at some of the concepts that we're talking about and think, well, wait a minute, we may have a problem here or an issue here that we need to address, at least this work and the information, the research behind it, provides you with a set of tools and ideas as a route to, in this case, improving the performance of your mine road. So I'm going to be talking about whether this concept of big data can really improve how our roads operate and how they stand up on a mine site. So the structure of the presentation, really, we'll firstly talk about what is the problem, why do we look at road performance? And Tim this morning presented in a nutshell what some of those key issues are in terms of road performance and rolling resistance. And I'll briefly cover some of that ground again from a slightly different perspective before we turn to this idea of big data. What is it and how could it potentially help us to understand real time what's going on with our roads? Then we'll look at some of the analytics, the approach that we've used to try and benchmark the performance of our roads and understand better how that performance changes over time. And then how we integrate that knowledge with day-to-day management of the roads to ultimately improve the performance of our road system as a whole by focusing our maintenance resources where it gives us basically the biggest bang for our buck in terms of where do we need to go to make the biggest improvement right now to our bottom line, in other words, the cost or the efficiency of our haulage systems. And then finally, as I say, we'll briefly run through an application scenario. So I'll start with an understanding of what the problem is. And essentially, in mining and in haulage, it tends to be one of our biggest cost elements within our operation, especially a deep, large, open pit operation. We're really looking at over 50% of our total costs associated with loading and hauling the material out of the pit. And that translates to significant opportunities to improve the performance of our roads and see a cost associated with that improvement being reaped as a benefit in terms of improved performance. Tim mentioned this morning rolling resistance, and rolling resistance is a bit of a sod, really. We've kind of inherited this idea of rolling resistance, but when we sit down, we try to measure it and evaluate it or even model it, it becomes really difficult. Tim mentioned this morning that Syncrude 8% rolling resistance on very soft materials underfoot as the truck creates a depression or a basin which it tries to climb out of, we've got rolling resistance associated with deformation of that material. We've also got rolling resistance associated with a really good quality running surface. So we ever get any rain here in Arizona at some stage, and you're driving on one of the freeways, really hard, solid surface, but as soon as you go through a puddle, you feel your car decelerate slightly, maybe pull to one side. Driving through a puddle is kind of like rolling resistance effect. It's not the road that's deforming underneath the vehicle, it's actually the surface defects as well. And rolling resistance is a combination of all these different types of causes and effects, and it means it's really difficult to measure, but we're stuck with it. If we start talking IRI or weird measurements of road performance, nobody really understands us. We've got to stick to rolling resistance, but it is difficult to measure. And what we really need to do is relate rolling resistance to its impact on productivity and cost. And as you can see in this illustration here, we've got various sources of rolling resistance. This is the classic deformation problem here, sinkage of the structure underneath the surface of the road. Here we have surface effects on the road leading to tire deformation, rolling resistance, again, corrugations and those sorts of features, generating rolling resistance. Obviously, if you're going up and down, you're not going that way, so it's rolling resistance. And again here, sinkage into the road surface. All of these generate rolling resistance, but very often we need to know where on our network of roads are we getting these problems, how severe are those problems, and ultimately, do we want to do anything about those problems today, tomorrow, next week? So we need to understand something about how those problems come about and how they're likely to evolve into the future. As Tim mentioned this morning, rolling resistance is always working against us, unless we're going downgrade against the grade, and then to a certain extent, rolling resistance does help us because it reduces the amount of retard or braking we've got to do. But looking at this illustration here, looking at a fairly simple fuel consumption model and its effect on rolling resistance, down here we've got rolling resistance from 2% up to 5%, sure, Tim, in Syncrude, upwards of 8%. Eat your heart out, 2 to 5% is where you should be. But my background is hard rock mining, not necessarily up in the oil sands, so I'm living in this wonderful dream of 2 to 5% rolling resistance. Up on the vertical axis here, the percentage increase in fuel consumption, and these two lines represent the blue line haulage on a ramp here, around about 10% grade, so anything from about 12 to about 15% total resistance. And the two lines up here are the flat haul, in other words, 0% grade. And you'll see here the greatest impact of rolling resistance is actually on the flat haul in terms of increased fuel consumption associated with an increase in rolling resistance. Down here on the ramps, this blue line, we're pretty much going flat out. So an increase in rolling resistance isn't going to have that great an effect as it is on the flat haul segments. Similarly, if we look at cycle times, which is the other aspect of where some benefit can derive from reducing rolling resistance. Down here on the ramps, this blue line represents the increase in cycle time. So for a 1% change from 2 to 3% in rolling resistance, we're looking at about a 7% increase in cycle time, whereas on a flat haul, we're looking at about a 20% increase in cycle time as a result of rolling resistance going from 2%, which is ideal if you can get it, up to around about 3% or so. So that's where the costs or the penalties are associated with rolling resistance. If we want to improve that, we need to be able to manage rolling resistance. And there's various approaches to doing that, but ultimately, we must understand what rolling resistance do we have now, what is that rolling resistance going to look like tomorrow, next week, potentially next month, so that we can plan and schedule our maintenance resources to fix that particular problem. So then the value proposition really is, Where do we do work and why are we doing that work? What sort of improvement are we going to generate on, simplistically, on fuel consumption and also on cycle times as well? And as you can see in this graphic here, one thing we could do if you wanted to is we could look at these three different performance curves for different types of sheeting material. So the red or the orange curve at the top here tells us what our current sheeting material operates like in terms of rolling resistance. So we're looking at a minimum of about 3% rolling resistance. We start trafficking this road with a certain traffic volume, and rolling resistance increases over time till about day four. It peaks about 3.5% or so. From that point onwards, we don't accumulate much more damage. We'd be interested in looking at the penalty associated with that 3 to 3.5% rolling resistance increase. If we were to change our sheeting material, for instance, the green line represents what we call a rehabilitation. So we remix our sheeting material, put a bit of aggregate or whatever is required into it, and lay it down on the road, water it, and re-traffic it, you'll see that it reduces our rolling resistance about 2.5% when we've laid it down. and bladed it, and it steadily creeps up to about 2.7 to about 3.2% over time. So after about 12 days, we're up around about 3.2% or so. If we spend a little bit more money, we rip off our sheeting entirely, or our wearing course entirely, we put brand new material on there, and that's what that blue line represents. So it's coming in again about 2.5% roading resistance the day that we blade that road, and then the effects of traffic induced damage to that road mean that rolling resistance is going to steadily climb following that blue line to just over 3% after about 2 weeks or so of operation. So looking at those three lines, there's obviously three different costs associated with those models. Is it cheaper to rehabilitate the road? Is it cheaper to rip out your wearing course or your sheeting material, put some new stuff in there? How do you actually make that decision in terms of how your roads are performing and what is the value proposition for that improvement? So we'll be looking at whether or not big data can actually assist us in that decision-making and that management process. And what we're doing at a couple of sites in Australia is to use existing information from haul truck fleet, and we're marrying that to other sources of information to better understand how the truck responds to and how the truck itself measures rolling resistance on a road. And here we're looking at some data that's been generated from one of the pits using some of our research tools. In this case, it's the Proof Engineering Road Condition Monitor, which just helps us qualify what the truck is actually telling us. So we're getting this information now from two sources just to make sure that, you know, what we're seeing really makes sense and correlates one with the other. So what is big data, and especially big data analytics? And somebody somewhere referred to big data analytics as kind of a little bit like teenage sex, that everybody's talking about it, but nobody really knows how to do it. It's kind of the same with us as well. We're talking about it, but we're not quite there yet. But essentially, the idea with big data is you look at a lot of information from different sources, you try to put it together to enable you to have new insights or a new understanding of what's really happening. And what we've been doing is gathering this data from these different sources, putting it together to seeing if it'll tell us a new story or give us some new insights into the performance of the roads and how that performance changes over time. And the idea is to, as it says here, to optimize, to monetize, never heard of that word before, but it's on Google somewhere, and then metamorphose. And those three together are really a process of increasing the value or increasing the benefit of applying big data analytics to this particular problem. And in the illustration down here, you can see this idea of monetizing or getting value from this work against, for instance, the data volume and the analytics that are required. So down here is you know, your standard daily operating reports and that sort of stuff sits down here where you've got minimum data input. It's telling you what happened, but it's not really telling you why it happened or what's likely to happen. Add some data and some analytics to that, then we get more reactive reporting, more insights, potentially moving up towards predictive reporting, modeling, and then ultimately up here, an optimization where we're able to understand what is likely to happen into the future and use all this data to inform us about that future scenario. One of the reasons why we want to know what's going to happen into the future is, as we mentioned, is the impact of rolling resistance on the cost of haulage. And as you can see in this illustration here, we're looking at rolling resistance and associating it with maintenance frequency. So surprise, surprise, on your mine site, if you're doing lots of road maintenance, you're going to maintain an average fairly low rolling resistance. As soon as you cut costs on your maintenance fleet, so you minimize the amount of road maintenance, lo and behold, no surprise there, your rolling resistance is going to increase. And if we look at your truck costs associated with rolling resistance, low rolling resistance, generally speaking, low haulage costs. And as we reduce road maintenance and we increase rolling resistance, our costs are going to increase. Somewhere between the two curves, that of cost of road maintenance and the cost of truck haulage, there's going to be a sweet spot just there, which tells us that we need to maintain a certain frequency of road maintenance to enable us to minimize our overall road maintenance and haulage costs. That's for one particular road or one particular set of circumstances. If we now move to a different set of circumstances, for instance, that flat haul that we looked at a couple of slides ago that was very sensitive to rolling resistance, under those conditions, you'll see here that our truck costs being very sensitive to rolling resistance, they blow out really quickly when maintenance frequency is reduced or rolling resistance increases. And you can see how our sweet spot now shifts to the left-hand side, much higher frequency of maintenance, which maintains a lower average rolling resistance. But ultimately, from a management perspective, we need to know which of the roads on our network are likely to fall into this category or fall into this type of category, and therefore we can start to schedule and predict what our maintenance requirements are on our network of roads to minimize our total cost of haulage. So let's have a look at the analytics themselves, how to identify and combine data to measure real-time rolling resistance. And Tim talked earlier this morning about these different approaches you can use to assess rolling resistance. You can look at tire sinkage, resilient response to the road surface, the response to the tire, all calculates out to give you a rolling resistance. Similarly with this approach as well, we're looking at a real-time measurement of rolling resistance. In this case, what we've done is we've simply taken the speed Rimpel gradability curve for a particular truck shown here, pull that to pieces, determined what the drive efficiency is, sorry, the drive reduction ratios and the efficiency of the engine and the drive system, and that's enabled us then to plot operating points on this speed Rimpel gradability curve. So given the speed of the truck and the load on the weight of the truck, we can figure out then what the speed of the truck is and the associated Rimpel. So that's the first part of the modeling or the data approach, is to understand the truck engine drive system efficiencies and reduction ratios to figure out, well, what should we be getting out of this truck? And then second part of that is then to say, okay, what does our real engine look like? Our benchtop power is going to be significantly different from the SAE rated power of that engine. So once we have that information, the benchtop power of that engine, we can plug it into this model, update it, and then start making estimates of how speed, Rimpel, and gradability are associated. And when we pull gradability apart, we then are able to assess what the rolling resistance component is of that total resistance. So using this approach then, we can flick through any combination of data, pick up our operating point, and that associated operating point then gives us some indication into the engine performance and therefore the gradability. In this case, we're simply looking at, for instance, the benchtop power of that engine, the RPM of that engine, and for instance, the tire size that's being operated, the static loaded radius of the tire, and those sorts of things, all plug into this particular model. Second thing we need to look at then is the effect of multiple operating units. If we just look at one truck, we get one point. As soon as we start multiplying that up by looking at multiple trucks within the fleet, we apply the same analytical process to the data coming in for each one of these trucks to help us better identify, for instance, what we're looking at here for one truck is the change in RPM along this segment of a haul road that's shown here. You can see RPM peaking up here about 1680, dropping right down here to about 1500, and then slowly peaking again. If we know the RPM of the truck, because we understand now the drive efficiencies of that engine, we can relate that back to the available Rimpel in that particular unit. And ultimately, Rimpel will then give us an idea of velocity. So this graphic here illustrates then through the previous model that we looked at, which was speed Rimpel gradability, this is now our speed profile on this ramp. Once we have that speed profile, we can now start looking at how that speed profile relates to total resistance. And if we know the grade resistance at any point along that road, we can then deduce what the effective rolling resistance is on that road surface. So now we're marrying the haul truck model with the real-time performance data coming off of that truck, the VIMS, contracts, whatever it may be. And now we're marrying it with survey profile data as a road is built, or as it's resurveyed. We use high accuracy data every 2 or 3 meters to pick up the grade of that road, as you can see here along all these various points. And you can see here this, what is supposed to be a 10% ramp. You can see here there are slight variations in that ramp grade in this particular illustration. So we can then start looking at each individual point. Each one has a slightly different grade. Therefore, we can start estimating if there's any change in rolling resistance at those various points, and importantly, how that rolling resistance changes over time. So that brings us then back to speed Rimpel gradability curve. If we're marrying that with the gradability, then we can start estimating here or calculating here speed of the vehicle, the Rimpel that's available, together with then the effective rolling resistance that that truck is experiencing when we marry all that data together. So we'll have a quick look at the application scenario itself. This is what we're looking at ultimately in terms of this section of haul road shown here. These different color points here now represent the rolling resistance on that road as measured by the operating point of the truck married with the speed ripple gradability data and the road survey data as well. And you can see there's some points of concern on this ramp up around here and up around there where we're getting a higher than desirable rolling resistance in terms of the mine's requirements for say 2-2.5% rolling resistance. Down here, we're looking very good indeed, very low rolling resistance as well, and we may well want to investigate and understand why is that occurring at that particular point. I must add with this data, the particular site that we're working with, their sheeting or the wearing course material does have a CBR in excess of 100, so it's a really good sheeting or wearing course material. It's a hard rock environment, so there's really good support for the wheel loads. So it's an outstanding haul road already. So these low values of rolling resistance normally wouldn't be a concern, but this mine is already in a really good position. It just wants to improve it yet further. So it's these areas of concern that we're now able to identify and then potentially look at those areas down there and understand why we see good and why we see bad. This is all well and good for a snapshot in time to know that this particular truck, whatever it is, DT38, that's the rolling resistance that truck is experiencing. From a management point of view, it's not that useful to us. What we need to do is actually look at this effect and how it evolves over time. In other words, these points up here, how quickly do they blow out in that direction? In other words, how quickly does rolling resistance increase on this particular road segment? And the reason why we want to do that is not so much to measure rolling resistance here and now, but to understand, is rolling resistance changing? If it is changing, what is it related to? Normally, it's related to traffic volume. So the more you traffic a road, the more that road accumulates damage. And if you can identify your roads that are more susceptible to accumulated damage, then you can start focusing your maintenance resources on those roads with the understanding or even the anticipation of, if I traffic that road, then I'm going to accumulate damage, so I need to do some more frequent repair work on that road, because the effect in terms of total cost on that road is going to be significantly more than maybe on another road. For instance, your flat hauls. If you've got a ramp road and a flat haul built in very similar, you subject them to the same traffic volume, your biggest cost penalty is associated with your flat haul segment, not your ramp segment. So you may want to use that information then to focus your maintenance resources on those segments of your haul road network, as we said, where you get your greatest bang for your buck. And this illustration kind of explains that. There we go. This illustration explains that concept now. So by marrying not so much today's rolling resistance value with a management decision, but by marrying the rate of degeneration or the rate of increase in rolling resistance over time, you can then start making these informed management decisions. So here on the vertical axis, we're looking at the percentage change in total road user costs. And that's associated with increases in rolling resistance. Your cycle time gets slower, your fuel burn is all the more. So if you can minimize rolling resistance, your percentage change in cost is going to reduce. On the horizontal axis now, we're looking at days between road maintenance. So we could associate that with traffic volumes. So day zero, day one, day two, doing 200,000 ton a day, you're going 200, 400, 600, 800,000 ton. So you're associating this change in costs with rolling resistance and with traffic volumes. Let's have a look at some of these curves then that illustrate different responses to rolling resistance. This purple curve here, which is at the southern ramp road, you can see that as soon as we start trafficking that road, it accumulates damage, so rolling resistance increases, and you can see this rate of increase. So after about day four, we're looking at a 15% increase in costs if no maintenance is carried out on that road. Alternatively, as a result of that southern ramp profile, that purple curve there, we'd want to maintain that road on a daily interval to minimize our increase in costs. Compare then this southern ramp, for instance, now with this blue line here. This is the Bench 5 road. Bench 5 has got a minimum cost at day 3. So what it tells us is when we blade the Bench 3 road, for some reason, as a, as we blade or maintain that road, we're generating a slightly higher rolling resistance. It may be loose material on the surface that is now unbound, and as a result of traffic, we've got to wait for that unbound material to bind into the road to give us a slightly lower rolling resistance. So on day three, our minimum costs occur, and then from day four onwards, you can see quite a steep increase in costs associated with an increasing rate of change in rolling resistance. Then it all kind of flattens out here. It also tells us, if we go this way, that we're actually over-maintaining that road. If we're using maintenance resources on the Bench 3 road, we're wasting it if we're trying to do daily or maintenance every second day, because we're simply not gaining the benefit of reduced rolling resistance on those roads. Similarly, the Bench 1 road, black line down the bottom there, the Bench 2 road, again, that's showing us that our optimum maintenance interval is around about every second day. So we operate for one day, we maintain, we operate, we maintain. If we do that, if we don't do that, then there's a slight increase in rolling resistance associated with over maintenance. But this is a pretty good road that we see here. There's not a steep increase in that rate of change. So we could actually forego maintenance on the Bench 2 road because the cost penalty associated with going from a one day to a 2 day interval is around about 2% or so, compared to an almost 5% penalty associated with the Southern Ramp Road. And that's how we'd use the information that we gather from this big data analytics approach in understanding the rate of change in rolling resistance across our network of roads to identify those roads that deteriorate rapidly over time and use that deterioration model, as we've shown here, to characterize how that deterioration translates to costs and the cost penalty associated with either over-maintenance or under-maintenance of that road. And the key to the whole process is understanding what that road looks like today, tomorrow, and the next day, and being able to plot out these curves in terms of either rolling resistance or, as we've done here, in terms of the cost penalty associated with increasing our maintenance intervals. And as we said earlier, some roads aren't so sensitive to that. Other roads are particularly sensitive to that, especially our flat haul segments. So if we go back to our original question, our proposition, can big data really help us in this approach? Why do we need that help? As we said, it's the effect of rolling resistance and how rolling resistance changes over time on our network of roads and where we need to focus our resources to improve the performance of those roads. And as we saw, on our ramp roads, a 1% increase in rolling resistance, so approximately 2 to 3 or 3 to 4% rolling resistance. Each 1% increase will reduce our speed by about 7 kilometers per hour, 7%, sorry, of our speed, and it'll increase our fuel burn or our fuel consumption by around about 7% as well. On the flat hauls, in other words, our roads at 0% grade, a 1% change in rolling resistance on those roads, we're very sensitive to the performance of those roads. 20% decrease in speed of the trucks for each 1% increase in rolling resistance, and as you can see here, 25% increase in fuel burn on those roads. So if we wanted to focus our maintenance resources to get us our biggest improvement, then we'd certainly be looking at these flat haul segments if they were a significant component of the total haul cycle. Second point that we discussed was, can we use existing data to help us better manage our haul roads? And certainly there are plenty of options for combining existing data without bolting on additional gizmos, tools, monitoring, measurement devices onto a truck. The thing is instrumented to hell already. We just need to better utilize the data that's coming in from those vehicles to help us make these determinations. So yeah, big data can certainly help us generate these additional insights into how our roads are performing. Third point we asked ourselves was the analytics or the analytical approach. And the fundamentals are pretty much in place. The methodology is sound. It does give us a good indication, not so much of what the rolling resistance value is right now, but more critically, what is the quantum of change over time for each segment of the haul roads. So if I'm measuring, say, something like 0.8% rolling resistance, may not have much reliability associated with that value. But if it's 0.8% today, 1.8 tomorrow, 2.8 the next day, then I'm going to look at that compared to another road that's given me 1.2 today, 1.3 tomorrow, 1.4 the next day. And I'll be saying, well, one road is really sensitive to changes in rolling resistance. and relate that back to the cost associated with that change in rolling resistance and figure out whether or not I need to maintain that road. So fundamentals are good there. Obviously, with anything that's big data associated, we need to look at volume, velocity of the data, and especially variety and veracity. In other words, go back and ask yourself, are the numbers that are coming out of this really a truthful reflection of what we're seeing on those roads? So far, we're pretty confident in what we've done, that it's giving us that veracity, that real measure of rolling resistance. And then finally, is it really going to help us in the long run to better manage and operate our roads? Speak to me. That's big data for you. Can you flick it on for me? Just one more slide. Ah, there we go. You've got big data and a cooperative presentation today. So can the big data analytics really help us enhance how we manage our roads? Well, I think the graphic kind of illustrates that point that, yeah, we can pull this data out and we can use it to understand how our roads are performing and critically where we need to focus all our maintenance resources to get a better overall response to cost and cost optimization on our whole road network. That more or less summarizes everything I wanted to speak to you this afternoon. Just a couple of acknowledgements. I think you're gonna have to move the slide on for me. One more, thanks. Yeah, and as I said, I've got to thank Newmont here and in Australia as well for the opportunity, Proof Engineering and Resolution Systems as well, which provided us with some of these big data sources, which we've then gone through to analyze to develop some of these fundamental concepts and ideas. So that more or less concludes what I was going to talk to you about this afternoon. Again, the real take-home message from this is understanding how your roads perform and understanding over a network of roads where you need to focus your maintenance resources such that you're getting the greatest value over those out of those resources to manage rolling resistance so it reduces your fuel consumption, it reduces your cycle time, and gives you the greatest overall benefit of your operations. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks very much indeed for your time. It's much appreciated.
We have any questions?
I understand that for your calculations, you need efficiency of the system to transfer power, to transfer the power from the engine to the wheels, right? Could you share which efficiencies did you use for mechanical and electric trucks?
What I illustrated here was for a mechanical drive truck. So using the power curve for the particular engine and drive system that's fitted to the truck, in each gear from D1, we didn't use torque converter drive, we just went from D1 through to D6. We calculated the drive reduction ratio and the associated efficiency of that engine based on, firstly, on the manufacturer's SAE specifications for the power of the truck at whatever RPM it was measured at, and then back calculated from that what the associated drive efficiency is and the drive reduction ratio for each of D1 through to D6. All right. Drive reduction ratios would vary for each gear. The drive efficiencies varied around about 86 to about 82% or so. Ultimately, with that data, once you have that basic model, then you've got to go back to the bench test certificate for that particular engine, because if it's, say, 1950 kilowatts, when that engine comes out the manufacturing plant, it'll be bench tested, and you'll see the specifications at which that engine was tested at the RPM. Say 1950, it may be bench spec to about 1975 or something like that, but that's not an issue. Once you have that basic model, you plug that new power in, drive reduction ratio and efficiencies, you can figure out the slight increase in speed and rim pull associated with that slightly bigger engine.
In your cost model, did you include in that the accelerated PCR times for component rebuild and such associated with the additional wear and tear for accounting for rolling resistance?
And nothing at all like that. No, we've had a look at various models to try and estimate and try and link that to what would be the impact on rolling resistance, but it wasn't that clear to us what the issue was in terms of the overall duty cycle of that truck, where a lot of this damage or these events are occurring. Is it just on rolling resistance? Is it load areas, your dump areas, that sort of stuff? So we went to a very simple approach and said fuel consumption and cycle time. We didn't even look at tires either. We just said, let's use those two biggest cost components and relate it back to that.
Okay. Thank you.